Welcome, everyone. This is Corey McCusker, and this is Keeping Your Head in the Game Through Transition and Changing Times. This webinar is going to go through a number of things. What I really want to accomplish here is to really talk about how to eliminate stress and how you can remain calm during transition. I want to dig a little bit deep into the stress and what it actually does, because many of you, I'm sure, are either going through changes or have experienced stress and are looking for information. So just to introduce myself for those of you that are calling in and don't know about me, but I'm Corey McCusker. I am a mental performance coach and a motivational speaker and author, and I work with women, professional women, and business and teams, and also young athletes, usually between the ages of 13 and 16. Most of my clients have achieved success at some point of their life, or they're aiming to achieve success or to go to the next level. And how I help them is I coach them through getting past the mental roadblocks that may be limiting their results and really taking control and really overcoming those setbacks so that they can achieve peak performance. What I really want to help my clients with is gaining that clarity, that confidence, and the energy so that they can have the performance edge that they need to achieve those big goals or big dreams that they have. My background is in neurolinguistic programming. I am trained in hypnosis. I do brain gym. I do heart math. I do many different techniques to achieve the results. And before I opened my own coaching and training company 10 years ago, I was in the corporate world for 22 years leading and managing large teams, working with executives. My athletic background, and that's why I got into working with athletes, is I came from a family that was very much into sports. I did not actually start playing sports until I was in my 40s, but I've always been into golf. I love hockey, I play hockey, and I was an equestrian rider too. So that's just a bit about me. And today what I really want to share with you is some of the techniques that I do use and some of the things that I know make an impact on people's performance and how you can transition through changing times. And there was my kind of my work experience, and just so you're aware of what I personally have gone through and the changes that I've gone through and experienced and have applied a lot of what I'm going to be talking or have learned even about the impact of stress is, you know, over my life, I think there is probably never a month that goes by that there is not some change or transition that is occurring in my world. You know, growing up, my parents split up. We moved to many different places. When I was 21, my mother passed away at the age of 43 of a heart attack. Then, you know, I, throughout my career and the stress, and that's what I'm going to be touching on, I've survived cancer twice. I've been through many different situations with my job. I think I changed my job every 2 years, and then 10 years ago I took the leap of faith and I started my own company. But not only did I just start one company, I started two companies because I had a passion for coaching individuals and working with, you know, women in business and those young athletes, but I also had a passion for helping pets and people with their pets. So I actually founded a dog obedience school. And then a few years ago, I took on a tour lead role that I'm traveling once a year with the Women's Travel Network, taking small groups of women somewhere in the world to live their dreams. So I myself have experienced many changes, and I'm going to say that I get through them. I'm not going to say all of them have I got through easily, but I've been able to keep my head in the game. I've been able to focus, and that's where I want to share with you the techniques, the knowledge that I have today, because you may be personally going through a transition at this time, or you may be anticipating that you're going through a transition. And sometimes those transitions are things that you do yourself, that you initiate yourself, whether it's changing a job or a relationship. But sometimes they can hit you and you have no idea how to get through it, or it just takes you off guard. And so that's where we're going to be talking about that. I am recording the call today. I will be sharing the replay, and I will be sharing the PowerPoint presentation with those that are either calling in or missed it. And what I really want to make sure that I go through in this webinar workshop today is I want to talk about the key factors about stress, because when change occurs, it impacts you. It can cause you stress, which you may not even be aware of. So I want to talk about some of the key factors. I want to talk about how you can handle the mental roadblocks. What are some of those mental roadblocks that may be holding you back from the success? And then I want to touch on how you can transform stress into energy. I will be sharing a technique with you. I'm going to be talking about the three most important things you need to do to keep your head in the game this year. And that I want to share the tips so that you can have success, because that's one of the reasons I do what I do, is because, one, I have been fortunate enough to be able to manifest and create the life that I desire, and I want to make sure that, you know, if I can share what I've learned, my knowledge, and help others achieve what they want, then that provides me with satisfaction. So let's talk about just, I'm going to call it the blame game today. And when things occur, and say when change occurs, what can happen is we can give up our responsibility, or we can give up excuses of what's happening. And so I talk a lot about cause and effect. And what happens when things occur in our world, we can either take responsibility for it, or we can make up excuses or reasons or blame others of why we're not getting the results. And in order for us to have control and stay focused and keep our head in the game, it's important that we take responsibility for what happens in our life, for the choices that we make. And when I say we're at cause, and what happens and what I say is that we are being responsible and taking responsibility for what's going on. And the responsibility, what I mean by that is we have the ability to respond to what is going on in our world. Meaning you have the choice of how you respond to everything. So you can react, you can get angry, you can get mad, and that's your choice. Or you can take control and look at what needs to be done. I say that people can either be problem-oriented or solution-oriented. You can either look at things as a problem, and many people do, and that's when you're at effect, or you can look at what is the solution, what needs to be done, what steps need to be taken. So what I want to do is when I'm coaching people, if I hear that they're thinking of the problems, if they're thinking of the, you know, blaming or the excuses, I really want to move them to cause. I want to move them to take responsibility and action for their life. The next thing I talk about, and if you're able to see the slide, it's called Perception is Interpretation. We interpret everything based on our programming, our values, our belief system, the attitudes, how we look at time, how we look at everything, at our language that we use. And that interpretation creates your perception. We have coming at us every moment of the day 2 million bits of information. I actually think it's more now. And this information we will filter through our own personal filter systems, and we will delete, distort, or generalize information, which I'll expand on in a moment. But this 2 million bits of information that's coming at us, we're seeing things, we're hearing things, we're feeling things, we're smelling things, we're tasting things. What happens is we filter that 2 million bits, and we filter it down to 134 bits of information. And that 134 bits becomes our internal representation and what we believe to be going on. And that affects our state and our physiology, and then it produces a behavior. So let me expand on that a little bit more. And if you've worked with me or attended my workshops before, this is something I talk a lot about, because your perception is your reality. and realizing other people's perception is their reality, and it's all based on how they've been programmed and what they believe and what their values, you know, the things that are important to them. So what happens is these filter systems, we can either delete information, so we take that 2 million bit and we delete it down to the 134 bits. And when we delete, what we're basically doing is not looking at everything, and we're deleting certain information. And one of the examples I always like to use is when people are in new relationships, they will see all of the great things in that person at the time, and I say it's, they're going through the honeymoon phase, and then what happens down the road is, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, they start seeing things that are, start bugging them about the relationship they're in, and they start, you know, maybe getting irritated, or maybe it's like their last relationship, and there's things that are bothering them that used to bother them in the last relationship. Or if you're in a new job, and then everything's wonderful when you first start, but then things start to occur again. And what happens is you're not seeing everything clearly. You're looking at what you want to look at, but you may be deleting other information. And so that other information can change because maybe your perception changes down the road. Maybe there's values and belief systems that start cropping up, or there's attitudes from past relationships or past jobs, and realizing it that you are actually the one that's seeing what you want to see, and maybe deleting other things. The distortion, one of your filter systems we can distort, is when it's like seeing a mirage. Like you think you see certain things, but you don't. And I used to be in the corporate banking world, or in the banking world, and early in my career I was managing branches, and we would get robbed, unfortunately. And what we had to do, because of people's perception, is we had to really segregate them. So they wouldn't talk to each other and change what they might see. So we would put them all individually into a room, and then we would say, we give them a piece of paper, and we'd get them to write down what they saw. And when we would look at what everybody would write down is, everybody had some similar things, but there was a lot of things that were different. And it was like, okay, how did they even see it? How can one person see this and another person see that? Because they distorted it based on what they believed, based on what their values. And they may have had a perception of what a robber always did or looked like or whatever, and that would go down as one of their descriptions. The other thing you can, I can use as an example with distortions and what you may have experienced is when family members get together. And maybe they're talking about things in younger days or certain situations. And maybe your siblings have a completely different perception of what's going on. That happens with me when I get with my brothers a lot, because we'll be talking about, you know, a certain aunt when we were growing up, and there could have been a relationship with me that wasn't that great, but maybe my brother had a great relationship. And we both have different perceptions. Or when people go to the movies, they you walk out and everybody might take something different away, and it's all based on how they filtered it down and what they saw. So that's the distortion piece of it. Generalizing, a lot of people will generalize the information. So there will be something that happened, and that's where you'll hear people say, well, everybody does that. Or you might hear Canadians all speak French or play hockey, or we live in igloos, as my American family friends, in that they always think that we have winter 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Or you may hear, you know, Italians all speak with their hands, or always eat pasta, or are great cooks. So those are generalizations. So the important thing I want to mention here is that when you are going through change, your perception, you might be deleting things, you might be distorting things, you might be generalizing things, and your internal representation can be based on previous experiences and attitudes. So your perception is your reality, but understand that we can change our reality at times, and that's when you have those aha moments, because you'll take a look at the 134 bits, but maybe you're taking a look at a different 134 bits. And I'll just, if you are on the web, there is a Q&A page that you can use also. So that is the perception is interpretation. Being a mental performance coach, one of the things I always talk about is our mind. And when we talk about the mind, I always reference to, if you're looking at the slide, you're going to be seeing an iceberg. And I use the iceberg as a metaphor for the mind because the tip of the iceberg is your conscious mind, the part of the mind that we're aware of. That's where your thoughts, your analytical, when you analyze, it's the logical part of the mind, it's the rational part of the mind, it's the left brain. So that's where your thoughts are, you're analyzing, you're figuring out how logically things work, rationalizing things, your left brain. And I'm going to be bringing this part up again when we get down into talking about the stress and what happens when stress occurs in our life and how the left brain is affected. If you're looking at the picture of the iceberg, you will see the big chunk of the iceberg underneath. And that is what I reference as the unconscious mind. Some people will reference it as a subconscious, but for the purpose of this webinar, I'm going to be referencing it as your unconscious mind. Your unconscious mind stores your values, and that's what's important to you. The things that kind of determine the actions and decisions that you make. It also stores your beliefs. And sometimes your beliefs can be limiting beliefs, things that have kind of been instilled in where you might be holding back. So you might be limiting. That's where you might have a belief, I can't do it, I'm not good enough. Your habits are all stored in your unconscious mind. And how our habits and our skills get formed is we repeat, 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 and then it gets locked in as a habit. And habits can be good habits, or they can be bad habits. So any of your habits that you do are stored in your unconscious mind. Then you also have your personality. That comes from unconsciously. And then your emotions are all stored there, and your memory is all stored. And so all of these things are the things that we're not aware of, but they can be triggered and brought forward. And that's where when we are stressed, sometimes the values or your emotions or your memories are being triggered. And understand, if you look at this iceberg, you see a small piece sticking out, which is the tip, and then that big chunk that's underlying. Understand that 90% of everything that we do unconsciously. If you think about walking, if you think about driving your car, if you think about when you are using your phone or typing on the computer, those things are all, if you've done them over and over again, you just do them. You don't think about them. And an important thing to know, and we're going to be getting into how we can make changes, is that understand your unconscious mind is like a servant. It is listening to your thoughts each and every moment. So your self-talk, what are you saying to yourself? What are you saying out loud? It is listening, and it wants to serve. So when it listens, your language is important that you're using, and the unconscious mind does not process negative. So what I mean by that is it doesn't hear any of the negative. So if you said no problem, it's going to hear problem. If you say don't worry, it's going to hear worry. It's like a five-year-old child where it wants very simple, it wants tell me what you want, and I will deliver. And so if you think of a child, if you say, don't touch the hot stove, they go and touch the hot stove. And it's because the mind needs to figure things out. So if I said to you right now, don't think of a purple elephant under a blue tree, you have to go there first before you can't think about it. So when you are thinking thoughts, and here's the next slide that I'm talking about is a cycle that we go through is when you are thinking thoughts, it produces different things. And we have 60 to 70,000 thoughts per day. And those thoughts we will make choices based on them. There will be behaviors that are produced based on the choices, and then there's an experience that happens based on the thoughts and the choices and the behaviors, and then emotions come up. So, and that's an ongoing cycle. You have the thoughts, you make the choices, the behaviors go with those choices, the experience is kind of the outcome. It produces certain emotions. And so those 60 or 70,000 thoughts per day What are those thoughts that you're thinking? What are those, you know, what are you putting out there? And if you're getting great experiences and emotions, then those are the thoughts that you want to continue, because we repeat 90% of the thoughts every single day. So if we're having 60 to 70,000 thoughts per day and we're repeating 90% of them, what's happening is when that process is going is you're actually locking in a program. So if you are somebody that is perceiving things and everything in your world is going well and you're getting the results and you're feeling good and you're feeling confident, then you're going to produce cycles that have good emotions and good experience and good behaviors. If you are somebody that I'm going to say is a negative Nelly or has those negative thoughts, and maybe those negative thoughts, maybe it's lack of confidence, maybe it's anger, maybe it's frustration or overwhelm, it may make you make choices that aren't the best. It may produce behaviors that aren't supportive in you. It may produce experiences that don't really lift you up or excite you. And then the emotions that go with that, the anger, the frustration, all of that, it's an ongoing cycle. So to break that cycle, we need to put processes in place. And I'm going to be touching on some of the things that you can do to break that cycle if it's not working for you. But understand, if you have those thoughts that are repeating 90% of those thoughts every day, those 60 or 70,000 thoughts, you are actually wiring yourself. Your nerve cells that fire together, wire together. You know, I hear that from Dr. Joe Dispenza, and this comes from some of his teachings. But understand, even a thought process, even though it's not a tangible, if you constantly are having a negative or defeating thought process, it's going to actually form nerve cells in your pathways and that are going to maybe repeat themselves. And so I will be talking about, okay, so how do you change that cycle? What do you do? But first I want to get in talking about the stress. So do you know, and these are some stats or research shown in it's American because of the courses I do are a lot of American courses, but 60 to 80% of primary care doctor visits are related to stress. So 60 to 80% of the visits that people go to the doctor for are stress-related. Yet only 3% of patients will seek out stress management help. Most of the time what happens is people will take medication to deal with it. So I call that the Band-Aid solution. And instead of going and looking at ways that you can deal with that stress and manage it, it's just easier to go to the doctor and get something. And 42% of Americans report lying awake at night due to stress. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience. I remember in my corporate days, there was many nights that I would stay awake worrying about what was going on to be happening next day or deadlines that had to be met or staff that had to be, you know, managed. So 42%, so almost 50%, and I'm sure it's higher because these were stats from a while ago, but I'm sure that more than 50% of the people, and Canadians I'm talking about, are lying awake at night due to stress. So what are the stresses, what affects us with stress? So the body is one of the things that I always say. I mean, I work in a naturopathic doctor's office one day a week. I can see what's going on. I mean, I know from, you know, just people that I deal with and clients that I have, the stress affects the body in so many different ways. If you're looking at the slide, I've got a number of things, but just to say, mention a few, you know, headaches happen, anxiety, irritability, you know, people have panic disorders. I don't know if you, most people hold a lot of their stress in the jaw, so you've got tension in your jaw or grinding the teeth. I know people that wear mouth guards because at night when they go to sleep, they're grinding their teeth. The heart is impacted. People can have heart, you know, disease or strokes, diabetes. A lot of times the digestive system gets affected, you know, pain and you know, or ulcers. A lot of people will gain weight when they're stressed. And other people might have a decreased sex drive, or they might have muscle tension or fibromyalgia. I mean, there are so many things that stress impacts the body, that and that's where you got those 60 to 80% of the people going to the doctor because of what it's doing to the body. So I want you to think about, I mean, if you've signed up for this webinar, I'm sure that you've had some stress in your life. But I want to ask you, and just to think about it, but how does stress affect you? So I just talked about physically how it affects you, but it also affects you mentally and emotionally. It can really create a dynamic and creative challenge. So meaning your creativity may be impacted. So if you're in a job where you have to be creative, I know in November, December, we were going through a change in the household. And there was a lot of, I'm going to say, stuck states happening and creativity. It was like you were just blocked. Some people may feel disconnected from themselves. So there's that disconnection where it's almost like your body is experiencing the stress and you've kind of just numbed yourself. There can be the aches and the pain. There can be negative attitudes. So, you know, that's where you see people get frustrated more often. Maybe the overwhelm kicks in. Maybe, you know, they can react quicker. The thinking may be affected where it's okay keeping that focus and that laser, you know, just focus on what you're doing and trying the thought process. Because stress is impacting you, you're probably either going through a change or having overwhelm, or there's many things coming at you where you can't focus, you can't think straight. And there really can be, you know, I talk about disconnected from yourself, but a lot of people feel out of control. And that's when I get a lot of calls, is when, you know, it's either the stuck states or the overwhelm has kicked in and they just want to regain the focus and the clarity and the tools to do that. So how does stress affect you? And I want you to just think about it. If you've got a pen and the paper, I want you to just write it down, because one, is it something physically that happens, or is it something, you know, emotionally that happens? How does it impact you? And the physical part and that the thinking part, that's secondary, because we have, and what we're going to be talking about is keeping your head in the game through transition and changing times. So those physical ailments, how they affect the body, and then how they affect your thinking and everything else, those are secondary. That means the stress has already taken over and it's impacted you. Where I want us to go today and where we're going to be starting, it's really about when you first feel it. And one of the things I teach and one of the things I want people to be aware of is knowing how to read your feelings. So you first, you are going to feel, and then if you can deal with it at that moment, the other stuff may not come because you're dealing with it in the moment. So when we are looking at stress or change, it's really about being able to read your feelings. I talk about the brain with a lot. I educate people about how our brain and our mind works. There's that fight or flight that happens when stress kicks in. So, for example, what's a change that occurs? Say somebody, you know, loses their job. Say somebody's relationship ends. And these things before, maybe there was stress or things happening, but when it happens and the stress kicks in, or that feeling of, let's say, fear kicks in, you either decide to fight or flight. With our brain, we have three brains that, like the humans, they've developed three brains. So there's three brains in one. And the first part of the brain, the one brain that we share with the reptilians, is the reptilian brain. So that is your fight or flight. That's your survival brain. It's attached to your brain stem. And what happens when we get stressed is we go to that fight or flight. We go to that survival mode. So we share that brain with, when I say the reptilians, if you can think of a snake or a reptile, they are all about food, shelter, water. So it's just their survival mode. The next layer of our brain is the mammalian brain, which we share with dogs, cats, horses, or whatever. That socialization, that kind of getting that wanting to be in a pack. So that's the mammalian brain that we share with the dogs and the cats and that. Then the final brain that humanizes us and the overlaying part of it and the outer part of the brain is the neocortex. And that's where we get our high level of thinking, decision, planning. And that's what humanizes us. But what happens when we go into that fight or flight stress mode, we go to the reptilian. And that's why it affects our thinking. And that's why it affects our choices. And they might be the right choices, but they might not be the right choices because we're in survival mode. So what I want to talk about today is really about getting into that feeling. And I want to share with you first the five facts, stress facts, so that you can understand just the mechanics of stress and start becoming more aware and sensitive to your own level of stress and knowing when and how to take those proactive steps. Because if you can figure out the feeling when it first kicks in, then you can do some of the techniques that I'm going to talk about today to help you, one, stay focused, but also help you deal with stress in the moment. So here are some stress facts that some people are unaware of. So one, fact number one is your body does not care if it's a big stress or a little one. It doesn't discriminate between the two. Regardless of how big it is, stress affects the bodies in predictable ways. So you all have a certain reaction that you will experience, and stress reactions you experience every day is that it will affect your biochemical, what's going on in your body. And if you don't deal with these reactions and if they're left unchecked, you can start aging prematurely. You know, your brain may, you know, your cognitive function might be impaired. Your energy starts to get drained. And you really get robbed of all of your effectiveness and clarity. So it doesn't matter, or the body doesn't care if it's big stress or little one, it's going to send off these biochemical events in your body. Fact number two is stress can make smart people do stupid things. So what can happen is if you are stressed, it really does inhibit a small part of your brain. And what happens is you can't function at your best. I'm sure all of you can think of a time when you were super stressed. Maybe there was a deadline at work, or maybe there was just so much going on at home that you weren't able to think properly. And when we are coherent, where we're like de-stressed, our, you know, our heart rate is good, our brain is fresh and active, then we can think sharply. You know, we'll feel calm and we'll have clarity. And I work a lot with understanding the brain, and now I'm understanding more about the heart, and that's why I'm sharing this information today, is because the brain and the heart and the nervous system all are working in harmony. And so when they are working in harmony, you're going to get your peak performance. You're going to be able to mentally, emotionally, and physically be able to operate at your peak. Fact number three is, people can become numb to their stress. And this is where I see a lot of people in business, or even, you know, moms or working moms, where they are just so used to be living in an overwhelmed state that they just become accustomed to it and they become mentally numb. So if you have adapted to the daily pressures or all the irritations and annoyance of life, then it starts to become normal to you, and you just become numb to it. But then what happens is sometimes the small stresses just accumulate quickly, and you don't even realize how it's affecting you mentally or emotionally, or your health. And maybe it shows up as a bad decision, or maybe you overact at a time, but these can actually, I mean, I see a lot of people that are numb to their stress, and then what happens one day is it kind of just explodes. Fact number four is we can control how we respond to stress. you don't need to be victims of what's happening. You know, if you can think of your emotions, your thoughts, and your attitudes, this is where I go back to the cause and effect. When you take responsibility and you're at cause for what happens in your world, then you take control and you learn how to respond to the stress. And you, one of the things I want people to do is really to be sensitive to stressful situations. And how is it affecting you before it manifests into something physical, mental, or emotional? Because that's when you start complaining. So this is where we have to realize we can take control of how we respond to it. And fact number five is the best strategy is to handle stress in the moment, and that's what I'm going to be sharing with you today and talking about with you is if you are stressed out all day, and a lot of people think, you know what, I'm just going to get through the week, and then on the weekend I'm going to just, you know, chill and watch 8 hours of Netflix or have a glass of wine or go to a yoga class or go to the gym when the weekend gets there. That is what the majority of the people do. It's not the best solution because what's happening, though, is your stress is building up during the week, and you're not de-stressing during the week. So that's where you see when people are getting sick or people have got the aches and pains or some of those, you know, physical ailments start happening is because they're not dealing with it in the moment. Okay, I'm just going to see for a second here if there's any questions. I'm going to take a drink. Okay, so okay, so here are common ways people deal with stress or common ways you can deal with stress is, one, eating nutritious food, so eating healthy, making sure you're getting in, you know, a good nutrition in your body to fuel it, drinking less alcohol and coffee because that's those things can drain our energy, you know, stopping smoking, exercising, you know, I mentioned going to the gym or yoga, meditating. A lot of people, you know, just meditate to kind of deal with the stress. Taking breaks, whether that's throughout the day, whether that's vacations, whatever it may be, spending time with family and friends, or if you have pets, that's another way that people do it, or just doing fun things. So those are a lot of common ways to deal with the stress. And some of those things you may have on your list. When we are making a change, so we've talked about the impact of stress. When we are making a change or when change occurs, it can be inconvenient. So, for example, if you were trying to, you know, de-stress, so say I just gave you a list of things that some people do. Well, some people, you know, will say, I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to eat healthy. I just have to grab a quick bite to eat. So when we want to make a change, it can be inconvenient. And a lot of people, it's January, and this is a month that many people say, you know what, I'm going to start off the year, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to lose some weight, I'm going to start going to the gym. I go to the gym and I also go to yoga and I also play hockey. So I know in January when I go to the gym and when I go to the yoga classes, they're just jam-packed because everybody's like on this new kick. And what happens is 80% of people, one, that set these goals or start their New Year's resolutions, by the third week of January, so right about now, is when they give up on them. And, you know, 80% of people don't even set goals. So if you're stressed, this is why one of the reasons that you might not want to make a change is because it's inconvenient, because it's just another thing that you've got to think about. So when we want to transform, it really means to change in nature or nurture or substance. So it's meaning you actually have to make a physical, emotional, or an environmental transformation occur. And when we are making a change, there are three simple steps that you can remove stress and gain energy. And they are stop the emotional drains and boost energy. So I'll dig a little bit deeper in this, but when you stop the emotional drains, and we'll talk about what they are, it actually will start boosting your energy. The other thing is I've talked a lot about the brain. I've talked about the brain and the heart and your nervous system being in, when it's in harmony, that's when you're operating at your optimum. Understanding heart intelligence and heart breathing, which is some of the things I'm going to share with you today, will actually help you deal with stress in the moment. And so having heart intelligence, knowing how to do the heart breathing, stopping those emotional drains and boosting the energy, and the last thing is imagining new behaviors and desires. I meditate every day if I can. My meditation process is something, and you can call it meditation, you can call it, I work with a lot of athletes, we do mental rehearsals. So you can just think about if you went to a dress rehearsal for a play, you're kind of practicing. What I do with mental rehearsals is you're practicing what you want to implant. Imagining new behaviors and desires. We go back to the iceberg. We go back to the unconscious mind. The unconscious mind is listening to your thoughts, and it's also the language of the brain or the language of the mind. It really understands when you imagine, it understands that as a reality. So when you imagine things and taking a few moments, and that's where I say my meditation process in the morning, and I sometimes do it at night depending on what's going on, it is a 15-minute process. If you're a member of my community, my Master of the Game community, I've got many mental rehearsals or recordings on there that can help you imagine. Because one thing I find is if I ask busy people that are stressed out to imagine certain things or just shut off their mind for a moment and just imagine, they have difficulty shutting down their brain and their thinking. So that takes practice. It's a process. It's a way of new. If you go back to the cycle that we do, the thought process and the choices and the behaviors and the experience and the emotions, all of that is when you imagine, and I'm talking about if there's new behaviors, there's new things that you want to happen, whether it be a new position and how you want to feel and what you want to be doing, whether it's a new relationship, whether it's maybe, something at your family that you want to do. When you're imagining that, your unconscious mind, if you can think it and feel it, and sometimes people can't think and feel, what happens is it believes it's a reality and it starts moving you closer. So I mentioned stop the emotional drainers. If I was to ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, and say 10 is, and I'm not talking stress energy, I'm talking where you feel fully energized, you feel great, you are confident, you are motivated, you are ready to go, whereas a 0 or a 1 is you are completely drained, you have nothing in you left. So on a scale of 0 to 10 or 1 to 10, I want you to rank your energy level, how you are feeling in January, whatever today, whatever it may be. I want you to rank your energy level, and then I want you to think about it. So if you're under 5, or even if I'm going to say if you're under 7, what drains your energy? Is it people? Is it your environment? Is it the job that you do, the task that you have to do? Is it your to-do list? Is it there could be events. What drains your energy and how does it impact you? We've gone through a number of stressors, and maybe some of you, I've been doing workshops this month and some people can't even think about it because they're so mentally drained. They're so physically drained. They're just like, I don't know, I'm just numb, and you fall into that category. So think about what drains your energy. Think about where you're at and how it impacts you. And if you have a pen and paper, write it down. Or if you're listening to this again or when you, finished or you have some time, later, I want you to just really think about that. And a lot of people, when their energy is drained, they reach for certain things to boost their energy. So sugar, carbs, fatty foods, you know, some people, I call it retail therapy. It's like, oh, I'm just so busy. I'm just going to go out and buy myself a new outfit, a new car, a new computer, get a new cell phone. So a lot of people shop. Some people in the work environment, they want to overwork themselves. They want to try so hard to get that praise. And sometimes that praise isn't even caring about all of the work that they do. So some people do overwork. And when they get the praise, maybe it boosts them up, or maybe they get the award of the month or whatever it may be. So some people will overwork. Some people take vacations. Some people go for massages. Some people take vitamins and minerals to make themselves or do their shakes or protein shakes or whatever it is. All of those come from external sources. If you think about where it's coming from, that is externally. What I want us to think about is how can we do something internally to boost our performance? Because let's go and look at what are the energy boosters, the internal ones. Think of a time when you were laughing, when you were hopeful, when you were relaxed, when you were calm, energetic, thankful. Maybe you felt well rested. All of those, something's happened that's lit you up inside, and that's an internal energy booster. And that's the thing that's going to help the heart and the brain and the nervous system faster than all of those external ones that have happened. So how can you go to these internal energy boosters and make it happen? And some, if you're looking at this slide, it's not an easy one to see, but I want to talk, because we're going to get into talking about the internal energy boosters. We're going to get into talking about how we can look at our heart or do something and do the heart intelligence where we are going to actually fire ourselves up inside or energize ourselves from the inside. And just so you are aware, negative emotions can create nervous system chaos. So if you have negative emotions that you are experiencing ongoing, it is going to set your nervous system into a chaotic experience. Positive emotions actually do the opposite. They calm us down. They make us feel energized. They make us feel good. Positive emotions can also increase the brain's ability to make good decisions. So you hear a lot of people say, oh, positive thinking, and a lot of people go, oh, that's just garbage. It actually is scientifically proven that positive emotions can increase the brain's ability to help the decisions. You can boost your immune system by focusing on positive emotions. And positive emotions actually create a psychological benefit in your body. So physiological. So it'll actually help your heart, your brain, your nervous system, how you feel, your muscles, everything. It will help benefit your body. And actually, because we're going to be talking about the heart and we're going to be talking about the power of the heart in a minute, is when a fetus is developing, the heart actually forms and start beating before the brain even begins to develop. So a lot of people say, you know, you got to be with your head. I'm talking about having your head in the game, but how we're going to do that is we're actually going to start with the heart. And one important thing that we talked about, the cycle with the thoughts and the emotions and the choices and all of that stuff and the experience, the human's heart magnetic field can be measured several feet away from the body. So what that means is if you are experiencing negativity and you've got negative emotions that are going on, that's going to actually create this nervous system chaos. We have an energetic field that actually radiates from us. And according to HeartMath, it's actually 3 feet. Dr. Joe Dispenza, who I study with too, he actually says it radiates 9 feet. So think about if you were in a negative state, a stressful state, and you walk into a room, your 3 feet, there is a radius around you where you're actually going to negatively impact anybody that comes into that 3 feet radius. And it works the reverse. If you're in a positive state and you walk into a room, you're actually going to positively affect those people. And have you ever had a time when you've been feeling good or whatever, and then somebody comes in and they're miserable, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're overwhelmed, all of a sudden you feel that. You can actually physically feel it. And that's because there is this magnetic energy field that radiates from us. So I want to talk about this technique and the power of the heart. And if you are on the web, you're going to see a slide that's going to actually go through what a technique, a heart intelligence, a heart math technique that is actually going to teach you heart breathing. It's called the quick coherence technique. And what it does is it's really about thinking about that internal energy booster, that internal feeling. So if you can think of an experience that where you felt appreciation for something or someone, or you felt compassion or joy or something really positive, and it could be with a person, it could be with a place, it could be with a pet. And what we do here is one, I just want you to think, and if you can't right now, like I was doing a workshop this week, and it's like I can't think of any good experiences or one. So sometimes because if you've been in that chaotic cycle, it's a little bit difficult because you've got all this chaos going on. But if you can think of a sincere feeling of appreciation, joy, compassion, either for some person, a place, or a pet. It can be something that recently happened, or it can be something, you know, a while ago. I mean, for myself, as I mentioned, I've got a dog obedience school. I can always go there. I can go, you know, with my spouse. I can think about times that we've had a great time on a vacation, or even, you know, just the time that we were laughing together. So what I want you to do is think of that sincere feeling. I want you to put your hand on your heart in the center of your chest. And the reason we do that is that's where we want to bring our focus of our breathing. And if you are thinking of an event, make sure there's no negative attachment to it, because there might have been a good experience, but then there was an outcome that maybe didn't go so well, or somebody interrupted, whatever. So I want it to be something that you can really think about, feel it. And that's where the more you can feel the emotion, the better it is. This is where we get into the imagination. And what you do is, with your hand on your heart in the center of your chest, what you do is, and you can do this with your eyes opened or closed, is you start taking breaths, inhaling, and just imagine that you're inhaling into your heart and exhaling out of your heart, and that your breath is just kind of charging and giving that energetic heart action. And so what you're doing is inhaling and counting for five, and then exhaling on the count of five. And maybe just start just getting used to doing the breathing, because when we are stressed, we have a lot of high chest, shallow breathing. So even for you to take some deep breath, it might be a little bit difficult. So doing that breathing, thinking of that person, the place, or the pet, and that feeling of appreciation or joy or laughter. And I want you to just do it for about 20 seconds. So inhaling for five, one, two, three, four, five. Having that moment and feeling, and then exhaling for five, one, two, three, four, five. And I'm going to just leave you for a moment just to do that. And if you can see that moment, see that person, whatever it may be, and really feel it, just really lighten it up. Okay. So that is called the quick coherence heart map breathing. And that's the power of the heart. When you are doing that, what you actually are doing is, one, it's something very, like I said, do it for 20 or 30 seconds. What this does, and it's scientifically shown, what it does is it actually produces energy. It calms the chaos. It helps you get into that coherent heart rhythm. Our heart rhythm when we're stressed, and if you were working with me, I actually have tools that we will actually look at your heart rate and how it's going. But what happens when you do this type of breathing and you're thinking about those internal energy boosters and that feeling of joy, appreciation, it actually will energize your heart. It will produce energy. It will calm the body. It will help the body physiologically just calm down. It'll help facilitate higher brain functions. And if you do it enough, what happens, and if I was to look at your heart rate, it's going to just be flowing, and it's going to help you when those changes come, when those things happen. It'll help you manage through the stress. And I'm just taking a look at time, and I want to make sure I get to another technique, but what you need to do is stop the drain. So I've talked about, you know, the energy drainers. I want you to take a look at what is the energy drainers in your life, whether it's physical things, people, experiences, whatever. Maybe you need to set some boundaries. But look for cues and really track what triggers you. Sometimes you get triggered and it could be an old wound that is happening and it's triggering you. And just list what your most common stress feelings that drain your energy, and then start just one, this heart breathing, thinking of those moments, imagining the times, because when you, and this is something I just taught you that you can deal with in the moment so you can eliminate the stress. And when you eliminate that stress and you deal with it in the moment, it helps you be clear, it helps you stay focused, it helps you, your thinking, your physical body. And what I have found working with people and teaching them, you know, how to de-stress is it's not always easy at the beginning, and it can be inconvenient. Remember, when we're making change, it can be inconvenient. So what you're doing by doing this one technique is and starting to focus on, you know, more of the positive moments in your life, and maybe you don't have any that you can bring up. Well, why don't you think about something that would bring you joy, that you maybe could think about being on a vacation or meeting that perfect someone or getting that great job that lights you up and just doing the breathing with that. Because what happens then is you start to develop the emotional resistance. I'm going to touch really quickly on if you are a peak performer, what needs to really be present. And if you start doing that breathing technique, it's going to help with all of these areas. And the first thing is, you know, having that positive visualization and imagery. When you're a peak performer, you're able to imagine success. You are relaxed. You are motivated. You have the confidence. You're able to deal with the distractions. You've got the goals in mind. You're having fun. You're passionate about what you're doing, and you have that laser focus and concentration. When stress kicks in, it's going to affect all of those eight areas I just mentioned. And the three most important things you need to do is see it, believe it, and act on it. So if you have a goal in mind, it's first imagining it and getting your unconscious mind programmed. Then it's about believing that it can happen. And that's where if you do that power of the heart breathing technique, it's you know what, just seeing and believing it, and then taking action. So let's break that down, and I'm just going through this quickly because I want to be respectful of the time, but when you see it, just understand your brain knows your catalog. You have everything in there. So when you see something, it's going to catalyze it. I'm a big believer of having visuals in order for you to really stay focused. I do a vision board every single year. I have for the past 10 years since I've been in business. Most of my things on my vision board do become a reality. If they don't, it's because I didn't want them to. And if you're creating a symbol or if you draw something that represents your dreams or desire, post it somewhere where you can see it. Some people will take a vision board and they'll write things on it. Your brain, the first language of the brain and the unconscious mind, it understands imagery first, the visual picture first. And then the feeling second. And then if you can imagine something and see it and create that visual, understand also when I say believe it, your left brain, that logical, analytical, rational brain. It is going to try and talk you out of it. Your programs are going to creep up. Any of your programming, and maybe there's that I can't do it, I'm not good enough, whatever that is coming unconsciously, is going to creep up. If you focus on your goal, if you do this de-stressor every day and you state your goal, I always say write your goal down. When you can aesthetically write and physically write a goal down, it connects with your mind and your brain. So that's where write it down, make sure it's specific, it can be measured, it's achievable, it's realistic and you're responsible for it, and that there's a time associated. And then the last thing is act on it. When you want, if you're going through change and you have certain goals, make sure that you're visually focusing on it, that you have that goal set out, that you're de-stressing yourself. And in order to make it a reality, you take one action daily. People get so overwhelmed by everything that has to happen that they can sometimes just say, forget it. And if your left brain comes in and starts trying to convince you not to, what you need to do is have that reminder. And really, what does it mean to you? Why is that goal important to you? Why does it light you up? And try to find something that you resonate, and then taking those action steps one step at a time. So that's everything. I mean, I know I'm coming up to the hour. I said this was going to be an hour. I will open it up to questions, but before I do that, I am offering, because I know a lot of people have some big goals this year and some have been going through a lot of change, I'm offering the first 10 people that register today a one-on-one coaching session with me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through some of these things. I'm going to talk about you getting what your roadblocks are, and I'm going to even give you more specific tips to help make those changes. So the first 10 people, and you can either email me at Corey@CoreyMcCusker.com, CoreyMcCusker.com. And just in your subject title, say game changer. That's all I want you to say. Or you can actually go to CoreyMcCusker.com/10spots. And go right in and reserve one of the spots, because I've blocked some time off next week because I wanted to make sure I, gave 10 people this opportunity. And, I want to just thank you. And if you also are looking for access to some of the tools and techniques that I use, you can go on CoreyMcCusker.com. I have an online community. If you want to become a member, there's some options there for you. Or just take me up on my offer, my game changer session, and we can talk about it more. But I want to just thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules, and hopefully I've left you with some techniques and tips today. And you know what? If you've got some big goals, just really remember that you can easily program yourself, but there has to be that focus. There has to be that relieving that stress so you can think clearly, make the good choices. And I just want to thank you. I'm going to stop the recording now and then open it up for questions. Thank you.